Muy buenas tardes a todos los que están conectados a través del satélite Amazonas y el satélite Eutelsat 8 y los diferentes.
Good afternoon to everyone connected through the satellite Amazonas and to the satellite Eutelsat 8 and the different means of communication. Today, April 5th of this year, 2024, we have the subject A Heavenly Cry. Preach on Tuesday, July 6, 2010, in Quito, Ecuador. We also greet the missionary Miguel Bermudez Marin there in Luna, in the congregation that the Reverend Juan Zamorano pastors there in Mexico City. It tells us in the book of Revelation, on chapter 5, which is the scripture that our brother William used there in this message, verse 1 and on. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no one was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book, and to loose the seven seals thereof." And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it has been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And there he writes, Revelation 10, 8 to 11. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And there he writes, Revelation 8, 3-5. And they sung a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book, and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." A heavenly cry. You may please be seated. In this passage that we have read, it shows us there that event where no one was found worthy to open the book, and John wept much. John wept. There are many places here in the Book of the Seals where Brother William writes to us in all those parts where it speaks about John wept. And notice here in the Book of the Seals, on page 90, where he tells us, the Bible said that John wept. Not as some people has thought it, I was hearing a man teach this. Let us search here in the other book of the seals, so we can also have it here. So just give me a minute to have the other book open as well. And in this way, we can see from both of them what he went on writing there. I can have it open here as well. He goes on saying, where we started reading, the Bible said that John wept. Not as some people has taught it, I was hearing a man teach this one time, said, John wept because that he found himself not worthy. There he wrote, John wept. There to the left, he wrote, John wept. Oh, any man under the Holy Spirit would know different from that, see? Under the inspiration of God would know different from that. But John wept. Here is what I think he wept for. Because if no one was worthy to open the book of redemption, then the whole creation was lost. And there on the right, he draw Star of David. And on the left, he writes, everything lost. And in this other book, there toward the top, he writes, there on the margin, everything was lost unless the King's Man Redeemer appeared. Everything was lost unless the King's Man Redeemer appeared. That's God's own law, and he can't defile his law. Can't defy his law, rather. And there on the left, he draws a Star of David. See, God required a King's Man Redeemer who was worthy, who was able to do it, who had the substance to do it. And the angel said, now let that King's Man Redeemer step forward. And John looked, and he looked all over the earth. He looked beneath the earth, and there was nobody. There, creation and everything was lost. And there he writes, on the left side, creation was lost. And below that, he writes, John wept. And in this one, on the right, where it starts, of course, there he draws a Star of David. Of course, John wept. Everything was lost. There is where he wrote, John wept. His crying didn't last but just a minute, though. Then there stood one of the elders, said, don't weep, John. Oh my, his crying didn't last but just a minute. John thought, oh my, where is the man? And in this one he writes, a human being. There stands the prophet. They was born like I was. There stand the sages. There stands. Oh, ain't there nobody here? And on this one, on the left, he draws a cornerstone in the ages and a Star of David. On that paragraph there. I want a man that's able to do it. I want a man that can redeem. And he wasn't found. There he drew a Star of David on the left side. So John broke out. Oh, everything was lost. On the right, another Star of David. And he wept bitterly. And in this one, on the left, a Star of David. And he writes, lost. And he writes, John wept. And he was sad, because everything, the whole creation, everything was gone. If they couldn't find somebody. Glory to God. In glory to God, there on the left, another Star of David. If they couldn't find somebody that can meet that requirement, every human being and the whole world and creation was gone. Oh, everything had fallen. The rights of redemption, the rights of eternal life, the light. All these rights has been forfeited. And there was nobody who could pay the price. And John starts crying. And there he writes again, in this one on the left side, John wept. Because no one was worthy, and no one could even look at the book. And on the left, a Star of David. Oh, it took a human being. John wept, because no one could do it, and everything was lost. In this other book, I opened two of them, but there is a part here where he says that John wept bitterly. Let us see if it's in this one. Or on this other one. Let us see here. No, it's not in this one either. It may be in the unedited black one. Let us see here. Now, notice all this whole scenario. Because I have a little post here where he writes, he wept bitterly. He must be in one of the books. But there is so much small writing. Or he could also have it on notes written there, referring to this page. It may be that as well. John wept bitterly. We would have to go to the notes here to see if that part is written there. But let us continue. To see what he goes on to say here. He goes on to say, and there came a voice from one of the elders, standing in the midst of the four beasts, and all the great host of heaven said, and there he writes, the lion, don't weep, John. Oh my, grace of God. Don't be brokenhearted, John, don't weep. For the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root and offspring of David, he has prevailed. There on the right, on the Spanish book, page 76 at the bottom, there on that paragraph he writes, the lion and a Star of David. And here he writes on the left, he writes again, John wept. And he writes there below, one of the 24 elders. And in this one he also writes, lion. I go to paragraph 177. He continues saying, prevail means wrestle with and overcome. Oh my. The Garden of Gethsemane, when the blood dropped down out of his face, he was overcoming. See? The lion and the root of David has prevailed, has overcome. And he writes, the lion. Like Jacob, being supplanter. And when he got in contact with the angel, he held on And he writes, the angel and Jacob to the right. And the angel tried to pull away. He said, I'm just not going to let you go. He held on until he got what he wanted for. And his name was changed from supplanter, which means deceiver, to what? To a prince with God, Israel. He prevailed. And this lion of the tribe of Judah prevailed. And there he writes, the lion. He said, don't weep, John. And there he writes, in this other one, John wept. For the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed. He has already overcome. He has done it. It's over, John. Oh my. He produced a bleach that sends sin along back to the greasy hands with his wisdom that defiled it, the human being, yes? But when John turned to look, he saw a lamb. What a difference from a lion. He said, the lion has prevailed. See, again, I can use that there. God hiding in simplicity. Here in the previous paragraph, he wrote on the right side, he remitted. In the paragraph he says, now this lion of the tribe of Judah prevailed. There on the right, under the lion, he writes, prevailed. God hiding in simplicity. And there on the right he writes, lamb, lion, equals, lamb on top, lion equals king and judge. He said, there is a lion. That's the king of the beast. The lion has prevailed. The strongest thing there is a lion. I've laid out in the jungle in Africa and hear the giraffes squealing and the great mighty elephant with his trunk in the air. Woo, woo, woo. And hear the savages of the desert screaming out their bloody curdled cries. And the Beatles, and Billy Paul and I laying in a little old place covered with stickers, and hear away off in the distance a lion roar, and everything on the desert shut up. Even the Beatles stop hollering. The king speaks. Oh my. I tell you, that's when denominations and doubts fall to the ground. Everything gets quiet when the king speaks. And he writes, silence for half an hour. And this is the king. That's his word. And he writes, the lion dash king. Here he also writes, lion dash king and judge. And he draws a cornerstone in the ages. He said, John, don't worry, don't cry. Don't be broken up, John. I have you here in the vision. I'm showing you something. And I know you're tore up because you know there is nothing to be redeemed. Everything is gone. There is nobody could meet the requirement. But the lion of the tribe of Judah. And there he writes, John wept. Now, in this message, the cornerstone, which we streamed the message of Sunday, those 2 days, he preached at the introduction on Friday, and on Sunday was the message of that subject. And on Friday it was the subject as well, that he was going to preach on Sunday. Sunday was the introduction to that subject, the cornerstone. And on that message, the cornerstone of Friday, November 27th, we saw the one of 29. Friday, November 27th, 2015, here in Calle, Puerto Rico, he tells us, we are living in a very, but very important time where the dispensation of grace will close at any moment. There he is already showing the final days and years that were left of the dispensation of grace. Why? because at that time, Christ was still making intercession in heaven for the very last elect. He had not yet taken the book. That mighty angel had not come down yet. He had not brought that title deed yet. And he had not yet given it to a man who had already been born, had his childhood, his youth stage, and would already be in the adult stage, where it was then time for God to give him that title deed once again in the midst of the human race. In other words, in that change of dispensation, to end the dispensation of grace and to begin the dispensation of the kingdom, God was already carrying out the preparations for that change of dispensation, which He was already showing us in these last years, that soon the dispensation of grace would be closed. He goes on to say, and there will be no other person saved, for the time when God will have completed His church will have ended, and Christ will leave the throne of intercession where He is as high priest, and He will come forth to take the book out of the right hand of the one who is sitting on the throne of God, will take the title deed, the book sealed with seven seals, and He will open it in heaven and do His claiming work. In a writing, He shows us there one writing of the many that speak about this subject. On this one He writes, until He has redeemed the very last one, then He rises up from the throne. So He could not rise up from the throne without having redeemed the very last elect, until that very last one was cast into the bleach. It says here in this same book of the seals. Now notice, on page 131 of the book of the seals, it tells us, now, a trumpet always denotes war or otherwise political disturbance. The trumpet does a political disturbance, and that causes war. When you got to get messing in politics and get them all messed up like we got it now, look out. War is at hand. There he writes, in this one he writes, trumpet on the left side. But see, the kingdom still belongs to Satan. He is still got this part in his hand. Because why? It is redeemed by Christ. But he's doing the part of the kingsman redeemer, taking his subjects until the last one name is put on that book, has already received it, and been sealed away. There he writes, baptized. And he draws an arrow toward a cornerstone that he draw and the ages. We spoke about that around the year 2021, near the end. Perhaps it was on December 25th. And I also think that was January 1st that we spoke of it also, where it says, being sealed away, in other words, baptized. And notice, the baptisms ended. It ended at that time in which that ministry was proclaiming that the dispensation of grace had already ended, and that everything pertaining to the dispensation of grace had ceased. Therefore, one could not continue with that because that dispensation was closed. Now, notice, here he also says, on the left he writes, until the last elect comes in. How? How is it that Brother Branham says, until the last one has already received it and been sealed away? There Brother William writes, baptized. Now, have you got it? Then he comes from his throne, his Father's throne, walks forward, takes the book out of God's hand, from the throne, and claims his right. Now, how is he going to claim his rights? And what for? Look on page 405 in the Book of the Seals. It tells us, just about the time the Holy Ghost is revealing himself here in the last days, the Antichrist is showing his colors, coming up through his politics and things. And just about the time the Antichrist moves himself fully on the scene, God moves himself, and he writes with Moses and Elijah. God moves himself fully on to redeem it all, and he writes, transform us. And there to the left, upward, to the top, writes, God will come in his fullness in Moses and Elijah to redeem us, to transform us. Now, he continues saying, paragraph 133, the first thing he does is call for his bride. Notice, the first thing he does when he takes the book and comes to claim his rights, he writes there number one, the first thing he does is call for his bride. In this book, he draws a Star of David on the left side. And on this other one, in Call for His Bride, he draws a cornerstone and the ages, and an arrow toward the cornerstone. Where does he call his bride? In the age of the cornerstone. In other words, there is where the ministers of Moses and Elijah, as we read on page 352, is where he makes that separation, that segregation, that catch. There is where that catch takes place, which Brother Branham wanted to catch those big fish, of which, in the Gospel according to Luke, tells us, let us see here, since we entered this part of that vision of that lake where Brother Branham was placed by the angel. And the angel was going to teach him how to fish. Let us see something here. Luke chapter 5, verse 1 and on, it says, and it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came, and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. Now let us turn here. Remember that the scriptures have multiple fulfillments. And let us read here. In John, Here in this other Bible, on Luke chapter 5, there he draws Star of David on verse 4, so that you can have it there as well. And let us turn to the Gospel according to John, in chapter 21. It says, "And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side." Let us have this other one open here as well, this other Bible. "And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find." And he writes, "Latin America and the Caribbean. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore, that disciple who Jesus loved saith to Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fish's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but, as it were, 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire and coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus said unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. And he writes, 153 big fish, type and figure of what the third pool will be. Type and figure of, notice, what the third pool will be, because it is in the third pool where those fishes would be caught. Now notice, they would be caught. And in the lake, the angel, began to teach Brother Branham by casting the hook, the fishing rod there, the hook, as far as he could cast it, so that it would fall in the deep part. And he did the first step very well. The angel even congratulated him. And now notice that all of that shows us that chapter 13 of Matthew, which is that parable he told us there about the reaping angels who come to carry out that work of separation. Let us see here. In chapter 13, verse 47, it tells us, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be the wailing and gnashing of teeth." Now, in the book of quotations, shows us this work of these angels. Page 141, paragraph 1260 says, notice in verse 41, Matthew 13, the two also very close, so close in the last days, till he didn't do, he could not depend on some certain church to separate them, say, the Methodist or the Baptist or the Pentecostals to separate them. He said, he sends his angels to separate them. An angel is coming to bring the separation, the segregation between the right and the wrong. And no one can do that but the angel of the Lord. And the angel of the Lord did not do that in any of the ages, nor in the time of our brother William Soto Santiago. Because this angel comes working, which is the Holy Spirit, the ministries of Moses and Elijah and Jesus, in the last instrument, in the last messenger. Because notice, when Jesus was heard saying, the prophets prophesied unto John, anyone may say, well, now if another one arises, then it can't be. Because Jesus said that he was the last one. There can be no one else. These are people who thought that no one else would come. Lack of understanding. Because he said that up to John, that is, that he was the last one of the dispensation of the law. Now notice that in that time between John and Jesus, in other words, between the forerunner and the one foreshadowed, that angel had been in the midst of the people, bringing those good tidings to the Hebrew bride church. Now, you see how it repeats again at this end time on an updated scale. And we can see the same scenario once again being fulfilled at this end time. And notice that Brother Branham, he himself, had already prepared everything to go to Israel because he thought that he was the last one. The messengers always, as we have been talking about in these last studies, notice where God is showing us all of that, which is being opened, because the seventh seal, which is the coming of the Lord, and the seventh trumpet, which is to Israel, Moses and Elijah, that mystery is being opened, for which and because of there is silence in heaven. And that mystery is being made known to the church. And there is where you see that new age, that new dispensation, and that messenger in whom God would be fulfilling that claiming work in that messenger. Now, notice how it is the angel, the one who would be carrying out through that instrument, in other words, the angel, the Holy Spirit, which in the Book of the Seals on page 134, he told us that that Holy Spirit would become flesh, the one who was working in the midst of the church. And in the manifestation of that angel, who was different from the rest, who has the seventh seal, which the seventh seal cannot be separated from that angel. Notice, in the fulfillment of the tenth vision, in the first stage and phase that he is carrying out, which we have been seeing here in the Book of the Seals, that it is to call his bride. The first thing he does, call for his bride. Page 133, where we were reading, first thing he does is call for his bride. Now notice that while he calls his bride and he's preparing her to receive that great heavenly visit, it also tells us, amen. Then what does he take? I went to page 133 in the Book of the Seals. He takes to his opponent, Satan, and binds him and casts him into the fire out there with all that followed him. Now, wasn't that what we saw in Matthew 13:47? Where those angels carry out that separation. And in the book of Quotations, here we are reading that this angel is the one who makes that separation. It says, an angel is coming to bring the separation. And this angel is the one who contains and has the seventh seal, the coming of the Lord. The segregation between the right and the wrong. And no one can do that but the angel of the Lord. He is the one that's going to tell which is right and which is wrong. God said He will send His angels at the last time. Not angels down through here, that is in the ages, but angels at the last time, and would gather together. In other words, He would also be carrying out that work, which the first thing He says here in the book of the seals is, call for His bride. He is gathering His beloved there. We know that this is the coming harvest time now. Notice that the harvest is already carried out because the wheat is already ripe and it is placed there before the sun. And the ripe wheat does that harvest work then. And He places them there in the storehouse, in the barn. Now, an angel is actually interpreted a messenger. There he writes, the reaping. And we see that there is seven angels of the seven churches. And now? No. Through the church ages. You already have all the writings of that paragraph, which are many. Now notice. He takes his opponent. I'm on page 133 of the Book of the Seals. He takes his opponent, Satan, and binds him and cast him into the fire out there with all that followed him. Now, in a writing where they put the scripture of Luke 5 for him, which we read a few minutes ago, there he writes, he had not caught the big fish, the elect, and the 144 Jews. It's like the vision of the lake with many trout. And then comes the day of the millennial kingdom of the Messiah. And he also writes, in all of the dispensation of grace, which is the night for the world after He resurrected. Now notice, during the dispensation of grace, that catch of the 144,000 was not carried out at night, and much less of the elect, of which He says here, that He would be carrying it out after He left the throne of intercession. Notice where the bride is harvested. Now notice when Brother Branham says in the Book of Quotations, when the bride recognizes her position, and what is God showing us at this time in which we are living? He is showing us our position, where we are at. As the old fisherman said there to that young man, don't worry. Let the sun come up, and then we will see where we are at. Where are we? Now, let us look here to have that detail as well. In the Book of Quotations, on page 107, that is one of the places, 107, in the Book of Quotations, paragraph He speaks very clear about this. Page 107, paragraph 931 says, "The new birth is Christ, is a revelation. God has revealed to you this great mystery, and that's a new birth. Now, what are you going to do when you get all that group together? Now, how is the whole group going to get together at once? With that work he is carrying out after leaving the throne of intercession, which he listed there as number one, that he, the first thing he does is call for his bride. There he is gathering his bride. And here in the book of quotations, he draw a cornerstone and the ages, and an arrow toward the cornerstone. Now, what are you going to do when you get all that group together, where the revelation is perfectly in harmony? The same thing that happened with them there in the upper room, where 120 were one accord under the same revelation. And God expressing it through His Word by the same actions, the same things that He did, making the Word manifest. Oh, if the church only knew its position. And there He draws an arrow to a cornerstone in the ages, and an arrow to the cornerstone. It will one day. Then the rapture will go when it knows what it is. And there He draws a cornerstone, and He writes adoption. And He writes above, the new birth, when the church recognizes her position. Now notice, when she recognizes her position, then the rapture would take place. Until the person recognizes his position for that person, there still isn't that claiming work, that work of gathering, of calling, from the Lion of the tribe of Judah to that elect, to the storehouse, to the most holy place, because she has not recognized who she is. She has not recognized her position. Now, our brother William continues saying here, in that message of the cornerstone, in the introduction, he says, it will all conclude when he takes the title, opens it, and brings it to earth, and gives it to a man, gives it to his church, places it in the midst of his church. How will he place it in the midst of his church? Well, notice, by giving that title deed to a man who is in the midst of his church, a living man. Place it in the midst of his church so that his church receives the transformation. The dead in Christ are raised and we all become young for all eternity. Which we read that is what he comes for. For what? He says on page 405, let us read that part again. And just about the time the Antichrist moved himself fully on the scene, God moves himself fully on. And he writes, with Moses and Elijah, to redeem it all. And he writes, transform us. What for? What is his coming for? He also writes, what we read, God will come in his fullness in Moses and Elijah to redeem us, to transform us. That is the work that he comes for in his claiming work. Now notice here on page 101 of the Book of the Seals. Let us also have this one here. Open. Notice. It says here on page 101, in the paragraph where it says, notice when he took the book, the title deed sealed. Just get that in your mind now. And broke the seals of the mystery to reveal them, to bring them to his, see, all of his redeemed subjects. Now, when we hit this in the seals, We're going to go back there and see them souls under the altar crying, Lord, how long, how long? And here he is as a mediator on the altar just a little longer, until there is more has to suffer like you. But now he comes from here at this last seal, and he writes the seventh seal. He no more mediator, he is king now. And what does he do? If he is a king, he has to have subjects, and his subjects is them that he has redeemed, and they cannot come before him until he takes the rights of redemption. And now he walks forth from a mediator, where death put us in the grave. He comes forth with the rights. Amen. And even those who are alive and remain till his coming. And he writes, the lion. Till his coming. The lion. And notice that John looks, he sees the lamb. But the elder says, behold the lion of the tribe of Judah. If John saw him there, John represents the elect and also the messenger. But notice, if John saw him, the elect of this end time would be seeing him. And they have been seeing him. They have been receiving him as the lion of the tribe of Judah. Here he writes, remain till his coming. Here he writes, the lion. And on this one he writes, on this other book, where it says, till his coming, he writes, as king. Shall not hinder them which are asleep, for the trumpet of God shall sound at that last trumpet. When the last seal is broke, there on the right he writes, the trumpet. And when the seventh angel is given his message, the last trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet him in the air. He claims, he has come forth now to claim his possession. And he writes, claim. And in this one he writes, future, the trumpet. Now, our brother William continues saying, there will be a full manifestation of the power of God, of the fullness of God in the midst of his church at the last day, and that will last after the resurrection. We will be on earth for 30 to 40 days already transformed. Just like after Christ resurrected, he was with his disciples for 40 days, speaking to them about the kingdom of God, and also performing wonders and signs. In other words, there will be a wonderful time promised for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ in the coming of the cornerstone, that is, the coming of the Lord to his church at the last day, in that stage that comes after the seventh church age, and the divine cycle will close in the west, just as the first coming of Christ was in the east with the people of the old covenant, the Hebrew people. The second coming of Christ is to his church at the last day, which is in the stage that pertains to the continent of the Americas, which pertains to the west of the planet Earth. It is in the west where the light will shine, as he shone there in the first coming of Christ in the east. It will shine in his second coming in the west, according to the word of God. Therefore, we are waiting for the cornerstone to crown the church of the Lord Jesus Christ at this end time. Israel refused to be crowned by the cornerstone in his first coming, but it all worked for good. It worked so that the work of redemption could be carried out, and for God to save Israel and to save his church. Notice in the message, how can I overcome? And also here on page 103 of the book of the seals. Let us go first to the book of the seals to see there what it tells us, where it begins, that is on where it says, the seals was broke Why? In the last church age, to reveal this truth. Why? The Lamb broke the seal and revealed them to His church, in order to collect His subjects for His kingdom. His bride, see, oh my, He wants to bring His subjects to Him now. What is it? Out of the dust of the earth, out of the bottom of the sea, out of the pits, out of everywhere and every place, out of the regions of the dark, out of paradise. There He writes, sixth dimension. Wherever they may be, He'll call and they'll answer. How? Notice. In flesh. He says, in a quote from a scripture, that the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God and rise. And He writes, in flesh. Now notice. He already tells us in the message, how can I overcome? Page 34, our brother Branham says, you can bury me in the sea, but the trumpet will awake me. Right? I'm going home. One day, amen. Until then, I'll struggle on. Now, he writes in the front, the trumpet will sound and will awake Brother Branham. And will awake all those who are waiting for that call, as it was with Lazarus, where he said to him, Lazarus, come forth. He has the title. He knows the names of those who will be resurrected, and he knows the names of the ones who will be transformed. Now, our brother Branham continues saying here, he says, he come to get his subjects. He revealed his secrets, and they saw it. And time is no more. At that time, time has run out. It's finished. All right. He leaves the throne to be an intercessor as a slain lamb, to be a lion king, to bring the world to judgment, who has rejected his message. He's not a mediator. Remember the Old Testament teaching now, as we hurry, when the blood went off the mercy seat, what was it? Judgment seat. And when the Lamb slain walked forth from eternity out of the Father's throne, and he writes to the left, judgment. And he also writes on this other one, throne. And when the Lamb slain walked forth from eternity out of the Father's throne and took his rights, it was a judgment seat. Then he become not a lamb, but a lion, king. And he calls for his queen to come stand by his side. Oh, how beautiful, right? And there he writes, or he draws a cornerstone and the ages and an arrow toward the cornerstone. And he writes, standing on the cornerstone to judge the world. And on top he writes, he is no longer lamb, but lion. And he writes, lion, king. And he also writes, the sixth seal equals judgment. And in this other one, he writes, change from lamb to lion and king, in order to bring judgment. And he also writes, judgment seat. There to the left, he writes, future, lamb, lion, judge. In other words, all of that would take place in the future, there when he wrote that, which we have been already speaking in several studies, and we have already been seeing that future being fulfilled. We are already in a present future. In other words, the future is already the reality of what we are living, what is happening in this end time. Now, he continues saying here, our brother William says, therefore, let's be prepared, because at any moment, Christ will complete His church, leave the throne of intercession, take the title deed, the book sealed with seven seals, He will open it in heaven, and will carry out his claiming work. He will bring the title deed to earth once again. Now there you are seeing how he is showing us that the title deed was not yet on earth. And there we will see the people who said, no, he already has, he had the title deed because he said here, here, and there. Well, now there you can see that all of that was being spoken and that revelation was being brought of how it would take place in the dispensation of the kingdom when it was fully beginning in the midst of the church, because the dispensation of the kingdom begins in the midst of the church with the call for the bride. And the work or the labor of the separation of the tares, which is cast into the great tribulation, it will be cast in there. But that angel is the one who comes making that separation. And that is in the dispensation of the kingdom, of which he was showing us there that he was not yet as lion. He was not yet as a claimer. Instead, he was, during that time of good tidings, he was as an intercessor. Now, everything he was showing us is being fulfilled about what would be in his second coming as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords in his claiming work, calling, gathering his bride to take her to the marriage supper of the Lamb, where we have been invited and we have accepted that invitation. Therefore, we have recognized the Lion of the tribe of Judah. We have received him and we have accepted the invitation, and we have recognized and re-recognized our position. That is why the rapture will take place in our age, the age of the cornerstone, and in our dispensation, the dispensation of the kingdom. Because we have been recognizing our position and what we are when she recognizes what she is. Now, we have seen this ministry of that fifth chapter of the book of Revelation, a heavenly cry. Let us stand.
And
thus leave with us on this occasion
bajo el tema que estaremos viendo y escuchando, un clamor celestial a nuestro preciado hermano y amigo, el doctor William Soto Santiago.